Our first reading comes to us from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. It says there, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. And he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom, then, will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, no one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God'? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Our second reading comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came, and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O healer of the nations, healer of our hearts, we pray in this moment, having humbled ourselves before you, that your spirit might rest upon us and heal those broken and wounded places, those infirmities, those broken relationships. Oh God, we pray with whatever is inside of us that is not of you, that you would cast it out. And that we might be made more fully yours, that we might be restored and made whole. The grace offered to us in Jesus Christ. Oh God, I am not worthy to convey your message to your people. But your love, you are worthy of making myself available to you. And so, God, I ask in this moment that you would use me to convey your message of light and love and healing and peace to your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We had this picture I took when our daughter Summer was somewhere between 1 and 2 years old. It was during her first year here at Ghent. In it, she's wearing this gray sweater that says, "Never Stop Smiling" in hot pink letters. And she has on an adult's hat that she was trying on amongst many other hats as we walked around the mall. Yeah, I know, you're not supposed to do that. Oh well. Especially when she was little and utterly fascinated with running and walking anywhere, we would take Summer out to stores. Not because we needed anything, but because it gave her a big open space to run around with lots of things to explore, especially during cold months like these. So I'd follow her around the store as she ran and giggled and hid under clothes racks the way so many parents before and so many parents since, although not recently, have done. Every once in a while, she'd get away from me a little, and I'd stand on my tiptoes looking around over top of all of the clothes racks, looking for that little bald head, because she didn't have hair until she was like 2. And there she'd be. Only on this particular day, the day that this picture was taken, I stopped to look at something for a split second, and of course I turned around, and she was gone. I began to stand on my tiptoes, looking over top of the clothes racks, searching for her. I didn't see her anywhere. Couldn't find her. So I began walking briskly around the clothes racks. Still couldn't find her. The internal clock that says, "She's been out of contact for too long. I haven't heard her and seen her for too long." That clock began to go off, even though I knew it was probably being silly. I ducked into another section of the store, and that's when a woman looked up at me and said, "She's right there." And she had this knowing smile of a parent who's been there and done that on her face. Well, I know that a sense of relief must have rested on mine. What parent doesn't have all the worst-case scenarios going through their head at a moment when they forgot to pick them up, or when they get out of sight, we don't quite know where they are? "Thank you so much," I said. I peeked around the rack, and there she was. Big smile on her face. Twinkle in her eye, the way I've seen her look at me so many times when she's being mischievous. She didn't talk much at that stage, but the look said, "Chill, Mom. I've been here the whole time." So I hold on to that picture from the mall, even though there are so many better ones lining the walls of the house we live in, so that I don't lose the memory of what it felt like to find the one I love so much, who knew where she was the whole time. Our gospel reading today picks up where we left off last week. Jesus has just cast out an evil spirit. He's cast the spirit out of a man in the synagogue. The demon recognizes Jesus and knows who he is. The religious men who most should be able to recognize God in their midst cannot, but the demons recognize Jesus. The religious men cannot see God in their midst. He remains hidden from them. Jesus and his first disciples leave the synagogue and go over to Simon and Andrew's house. It's very close by. The passage tells us that Simon's mother-in-law is in bed with a fever. So from this we know that Peter is married. Jesus takes her by the hand and lifts her up. The fever leaves her, and she begins to serve Jesus and his disciples as if nothing had ever happened. The word is really starting to get out about Jesus. This Jesus from Nazareth who can heal the sick and lame and cast out demons. There's this interesting juxtaposition of Jesus hushing the demons so that they won't tell people who he is, and the fact that these miracles he's performing are otherworldly, and there's no way on earth the word isn't going to get out about this. I mean, maybe this wasn't the case for Jesus. He's Jesus after all, but I can imagine that the need must have been so overwhelming. Everyone needs or wants something from him as he sits in Simon's house and people continue to gather at the doorway to be healed. You know, sometimes you just need a little space and time to yourself to be with your own thoughts and to talk to God about it all. The next morning, while it's still dark out, Jesus gets up and he goes off by himself to pray. Simon and his buddies wake up. Where's Jesus? So they, like any good groupie, they go looking for Jesus. They find him and they say, "Everyone's searching for you." Probably the line was beginning to form once again of people who wanted to be healed, who needed healing. But Jesus knew where he was the whole time. "Come, let's go to neighboring towns and I'll share the message in the synagogues and cast out more demons." The thing is, people are so attracted to his uncanny teaching and physical healings. But the kind of healing that Jesus is really offering? You know, we spend our lives searching for what will bring us peace and balance no matter what we're facing. That balance that eludes us. We reach out for that which will shine a little light in the midst of the darkness and get us through. What we search for can be found in Jesus. The truth is, we're lost without him. Jesus doesn't just offer physical healing and sound teaching. His good news, his sacrifice on the cross, brings a healing of relationship between us and God that creates oneness for those of us who go looking for him. And when we find him, he's there to say, "I've been here the whole time, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you." It is in moments such as these when our lives are saturated by the knowledge of God's unconditional and ever-present love. I wonder, friends, do you feel a little lost sometimes? Or maybe more like you're searching for something you just can't quite find. Is there this dissonance within that makes you feel like the things are a little or a lot off balance at times, maybe all the time? I want to invite you to go searching for Jesus. And when you do, I know eventually you'll find him. You find that he's been there all along, offering you healing and hope. Amen.